Remember Jack Abramoff? He's the former lobbyist who went to prison in 2006 for defrauding American Indian tribes and for corruption. Today, Abramoff can see himself portrayed on the big screen by Kevin Spacey.
Next to God, faith, and country, nothing is more important than influence. Political influence. Influence with the powerful is like influence with God. Without it, there's only eternal hellfire, damnation, and congressional logjam.
The movie is Casino Jack, directed by the late George Hickenlooper. It opens today in select theaters. Its star, Kevin Spacey, recently sat down with us. And even though the Abramoff scandal broke years ago, Spacey doesn't think that much has changed in Washington.
They've got very clever ways to get around rules. My favorite is, you're not supposed to have a dinner for a senator or a congressman. Can't have a dinner to raise money. So then the question is, what constitutes a dinner? And apparently, if you're not sitting down, it's not a dinner. If you're not using utensils, it's not a dinner.
Those have always been my rules. Well, let's talk about at least some of the storyline. Jack Abramoff's partner in crime, literally, was Michael Scanlon. He's played in this movie by the very fine actor Barry Pepper. There is a scene with Abramoff and Scanlon on the golf course talking about bilking the Indian tribes out of vast sums of their casino money.
Well, Scanlon was sort of notorious and very well-known figure in D.C. And he came up with this idea that since Scanlon was in a different position than Abramoff, Abramoff had to declare all of the money that he charged for. Scanlon was a consultant, so he didn't have to.
You know what blows my mind? All these Indians are so damn rich and they're still acting like Walmart shoppers. He's a multimillionaire, Jack, with a $10 watch. Just think, if you and I could access some of that liquid, we would be running D.C. in no time.
Yo, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that they pay us a ridiculous amount of money, okay? And then you and I can split the fee 50-50 under the table.
And so they worked out this, what they called a gimme five deal, which was essentially underhandedly Scanlon would pay Abramoff a percentage of the money that he was able to raise as a consultant.
I'm grassroots, baby. You're always complaining about living hand to mouth. You know what? You deserve better. Okay? And Chief Shanks-a-Lot there is our ticket out of hourly fee hell.
That was one of the things that ultimately got him in such trouble.
And their personalities are different.
Yeah, and it's an interesting, I mean, in terms of looking at the two sort of figures and their decision-making, it's a very interesting example of, on the one hand, Scanlon, who just spent an enormous amount of money, you know, buying houses and fast cars, and he spent money and lived high on the hog. Whereas Abramoff oddly didn't. He was actually giving away a great deal of his money to causes he believed in, to people who needed it, in many cases just total strangers. This is, to some degree, why it's so interesting to examine a character like this, is did he think that because of all the good work he was doing that the ends justified the means?
Every movie that comes out that's based on or inspired by, you know, real-world events gets fact-checked. In this case, I guess this one will be, is being fact-checked by political writers. Where did you guys take liberties?
I think that there is something rather interesting about the whole notion of what is allowable in drama and what is allowable in documentary. It seems to me that if you take the example of Peter Morton's great screenplay for The Queen, I don't think anybody assumes that Peter Morton was hiding under the bed in Buckingham Palace listening to the Queen discuss her daughter-in-law with her husband. But you source enough. You spend a great deal of time making sure that the events that you're going to portray are relatively close to what occurred. But life doesn't happen in a narrative. Life doesn't happen in dialogue. This is what dramatists do. They dramatize.
And when a Washington Post reporter gets punched in the face in the film, it's a dramatic exclamation point
exactly.
For a purpose.
Exactly.
Talk about, I don't think it's the final scene in the movie, and we don't need to kind of give away the very ending, but there is the scene where Jack Abramoff appears before John McCain's panel, Senate hearings.
Well, that scene originally was just a scene in which we did what Abramoff had done, which was that Abramoff had taken the Fifth.
Senator, I respectfully invoke the privileges as stated.
And by the way, most people who go before the Senate do take the Fifth because the Senate is a joke. They have no power. They can't do anything. It's just a dog and pony show. They want to stand there and wag their fingers at people. So everybody takes the Fifth. But it was when Abramoff said to George Hickenlooper and I that if he'd known or believed anywhere in his heart that he was actually going to go to jail, he would have never taken the Fifth. And George and I drove away from the prison that day, and we thought, what would that scene be like? Jack.
No, I no longer wish to invoke the privileges. Jack. I have something to say, and I'm going to say it. Jack, no. In fact, Jack, what are you if doing? We want to talk all about the money, why don't we start with the $4,000 checks I personally handed to Senator Jarvis for his reelection campaign, and we know what that money was all about, don't we, Senator?
He had given money, Abramoff had given money to a number of senators on that panel, and you know, you can understand the feeling of, well, all these people are pointing at him and telling him what a bad person he is, when they had done business with him for years.
Kevin Spacey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Spacey appears in the role of Jack Abramoff in the new film Casino Jack.
Morning Edition from NPR News is produced by Nicole Beemsterboer and Vince Pearson, edited by Greg Myrie and Jordana Hochman, and directed by Van Williamson and Asma Khalid.
The engineering supervisor is Mitch Eaton. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo. Audio engineers include Stacey Abbott, Greg Gavin, Arthur Halliday-Laurent, Ted Mebane, Vince Muse, Andy Rosenberg, Kurt Stalnacker, and Gary Tennant, and Theo Mondel at NPR West.
Our executive producer is Madalika Sika. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Steve Inskeep, and Don Gagne, thanks for your week. It's been great to have you along this week.
It's a different view from here. It was fun.
There you go. Linda Wertheimer will be in the chair next week, and over the weekend I'll be speaking at the winter commencement at Ball State University in Indiana. Have a nice weekend.